This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're going to speak with two gentlemen from NIST. We're going to talk about conformity assessment and compliance and a lot of terms that some listeners may not know anything about, and some terms like water and air that everyone wants to know more about, and the world of compliance. My guests today are Gordon Gillerman. He's the Director of Standard Services Division at NIST, and Matt Scholl. He's a Deputy Division Chief, Computer Security Division at NIST. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Good morning, John. Doing well.
Good, good, good. Well, Gordon, many of my listeners have maybe heard of NIST, maybe heard of you. Just give maybe a little quick nutshell on your background at NIST and what NIST does for my listeners, please.
Certainly. So NIST is the nation's metrology institute. Big portion of NIST's effort is devoted to research and the application of the measurement system for commerce and science. Many of the measurements that are used in transactions between parties, buying things at the store, between businesses, have traceability back to NIST measurement standards, and NIST is continually doing research to advance the science of measurement standards in support of research and innovation and American competitiveness. In the part of NIST that I work in particularly, we work on documentary standards, standards that are printed or available in electronic form that describes ways of testing things, requirements for things, or requirements for systems and people, and the conformity assessment or testing and certification processes to demonstrate that things conform to these requirements. NIST has laboratories that span areas from information technology, where Matt comes from, and engineering work in the building and construction area and manufacturing, as well as materials and physics measurement science.
Well, that's great. So when you get a gallon of gas, you make sure it's a gallon. And when you send something overseas, we're both speaking the same language as far as sizes and fits. That makes sense. Matt, a little about your division, maybe your background, please.
Sure. So I guess kind of drilling down off of what Gordon effectively said, within the Computer Security Division and the Information Technology Lab, we apply those metrology research measurements, standards, and guidelines within the space of information security, or cybersecurity. So what we do is we apply our scientific research methods to conduct research and measurements, and then provide reference materials to our stakeholders so that they can look at information and information security in a standardized way in order to make like comparisons, in order to create an information security program, or in order to understand the information security technologies that they may wish to use or which they may already have within their enterprises.
Do you work with Dr. Ron Ross up there then?
I do. I work very closely with Dr. Ross. He's actually in my group. His office, when he's ever there, is next to mine.
I tell my kids that he needs a wheelbarrow to carry around his brains. I mean, he can just go such a deep dive into so many topics. He always amazes me when I speak to him.
He is. He's a man of great depth and understanding, and we're pretty lucky to have him here on our team.
Great. It's just, and he works, I don't know, I guess he doesn't sleep, because I know he works 24 hours a day. He's just he's a great guy.
I've often accused him of some vampire the multiple 3 a.m. emails from him make me think either that he does not sleep or that he's done something to the clock on his email system.
Well, he does control the clocks at NIST. guess so. Maybe something there. Well, gentlemen, we have this big vague concept, advanced measurement science. Okay, so we know that, and we know it helps us in general. It helps us with exports. We know that, and too. Let's maybe drill down more and more with this. In 1998, there was a circular that came out called A119. People in the business here know what that was all about. It dealt with conformity assessment, and here in 2012, the White House sent out a memo and then talked about, you know, maybe we got to revisit this. It's only been 14 years. Maybe technology has changed. And there's a couple workshops that come up with the spring. Gordon, perhaps you give us a better overview of these workshops and why you folks bent over backwards to produce these both of these things.
Sure. The federal government's posture on standards is well laid out in some provisions of the National Technology Transfer and Advancement Act. And the circular that you mentioned, published by the Office of Management and Budget, A119, is the guidance for the federal agencies on the implementation of the standards, guidelines, and policies of the National Technology Transfer and Advancement Act for the agencies. It lays out certain duties for NIST in standards and conformity assessment and certain duties for the agencies as well, and overall sets a preference for the use of private standards that meet the needs of the government rather than developing government-unique standards for particular applications. In conformity assessment, it gives NIST the responsibility to coordinate conformity assessment activities among federal, state, and local governments to reduce the redundancy and complexity of the system, and thereby to reduce the burden on the regulated often. And we look to do a lot of that work with our agency partners, with the private sector, and with other countries' systems, both regulatory and non-regulatory, to execute that mission. So there's a big tie between all of these pieces, the National Technology Transfer and Advancement Act and the circular. And standards itself has become a important execution tool for administration policies in especially high-tech areas, things like the smart grid, things like cloud computing, things like electronic health records. And so the White House and the Subcommittee on Standards and the National Science and Technology Committee have been really focused on how the government uses and participates in standards, and how it executes its mission relevant to the use of those standards.
You know, if I had to talk to one of my neighbors over the backyard fence, I would say that effective standards enable innovation. That's probably a good summary there, I'd think. Hmm?
That works for us. So I think you're right. Standards enable innovation, and just the very nature of standards, that they're not stagnant documents. Standards processes tends to relook at the relevance of standards for current applications, current technology, and other issues as things change in different sectors, and keep them up to date in a way that other things don't. So I think you're absolutely right when you say standards-enabled innovation.
What I like to ask people always is, okay, we go from the big picture, what NIST is all about, and then more specific about, you know, standards and working with people and making innovative. But I think what these conferences did is they put eight people up on stage, and they said, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, tell us your story and how you work with standards within the government, with outside the government. And I think each one of these stories in and of themselves are very indicative of what NIST does and what agencies have to do. And so agencies have to worry about, you know, federal compliance and then working with organizations outside their agency and trying to adapt to change. And, oh, by the way, do this in an environment that has to be secure. So a lot of challenges there. When you put together this conference, Gordon, you had people from, eight, 12 different agencies, all kinds of agencies participated, didn't they?
We had a lot of agencies participating. I don't have the agenda in front of me, so I won't try to count them up. But we do have a lot of federal agencies who are involved or executing conformity assessment programs in a variety of different areas. These conformity assessment programs are to fulfill their regulatory mission. Some conformity assessment programs for agencies look at having confidence that products that agencies procure and operate meet their needs and meet technical specifications and standards. And other ones are used for incentive programs like tax incentives and grant guidance to make sure that when the federal government is providing those assistance measures that money is effectively used to advance those agendas.
And the reason I'm even having this show is because there may be someone who's listening now who 6 months from now, their boss walks into their office, dumps it on her desk and says, well, Sally, guess what? You've got to come up with the program in the next 90 days to make sure something complies with something else. It could be, you know, the sample I used earlier about paint. It could be something to do with automobiles. I mean, the Department of Labor, FCC, USDA, it has to comply with some kind of a food regulation. There could be a foodborne illness or something. It's a rather dynamic world, and people, I think of standards as, geez, a 300-page book sitting on a shelf, and I think of a standard as something really a dynamic, moving, something that can be created almost quickly, can it?
Standards, by their very nature, have to be dynamic and have to address current issues. The standards process itself can be very nimble when it needs to be. It can be very deliberative when it needs to be. When there is an imminent hazard, an issue that has tremendous safety, health, and environmental implications, the standards process and the community that drives those standards, both the stakeholders and participants from private sector industry and from organizations that have a stake in the outcome and government, move very quickly and put forth a lot of effort into the process to make sure the standards are addressing relevant needs. And some of those relevant needs are the things that you see on the news, like contamination in toys, other kinds of hazards in children's products, food contamination issues. The standards process can move very, very quickly when it needs to and be very deliberative in the long run to make sure that the quality of the standards is kept at a very high level.
Gentlemen, we're going to have to take a quick break here. When we come back, maybe talk a little bit more about FedRAMP and conformity there and talk about HHS and healthcare. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking to Gordon Gillerman and Matt Schulman, two experts from NIST.
Central Michigan University has 7 centers right here in Metro D.C. Surprised? CMU has been educating Metro D.C. professionals since 1975, offering accredited adult-friendly degree programs designed for working professionals.
I feel so much better prepared now that I have this degree. And I feel that there is nothing that I cannot tackle.
Stay competitive with a quality degree from Central Michigan University in Metro D.C. Choose from degrees applicable to careers in administration, public sector leadership, healthcare, human resources, and more. Classes are forming now at our 7 Metro D.C. centers, including our new Alexandria Center. Go to cmich.edu/metroDC. That's cmich.edu/metroDC for more information. Or call 877-679-1268. Central Michigan University in Metro D.C. Quality degrees, convenient formats, 7 local centers. Certified operate by Chev.
Pooling together really rewards. Van pools have now been added to the popular Pool Rewards program. If you currently drive alone to work and can carpool at least 2 days a week or form a new van pool, you may qualify for a cash incentive or reduced commuting costs. Visit commuterconnections.org. Click on Pool Rewards to find out more. Need to find others to rideshare with? Commuter Connections provides free ride matching services too. Pool Rewards. It pays to rideshare. Some restrictions apply. Visit commuterconnections.org today to get started.
Here at Best Buy, we have expanded our selection of HD Radio car stereo receivers. New HD Radio car stereos are in store and offer you the best in digital entertainment and information. More music from local HD2, HD3 radio stations, iPhone, iPod control, digital traffic, iTunes tagging, and more. Best Buy has the leading brands, Alpine, Pioneer, Kenwood, JVC, lots to choose from, with prices as low as $120. Here at Best Buy, we recommend HD Radio technology.
How is the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, putting the power of geospatial intelligence in the hands of its users? How does NGA support disaster rescue, homeland security, and warfighter operations? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores those questions and much more with Letitia Long, Director, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, next week on the Business of Government Hour. Today is the day to make the switch to decide you're going to choose to save money with Ackerman Security Systems.
I was looking at ways to reduce expenses at home. I checked my alarm monitoring bill and wow, I made the switch to Ackerman with no cost to switch and only $18.95 a month. Now I save $25 a month. That's $300 a year.
Why wait? Call Ackerman today and receive 2 months of basic monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
And I can just read on the plane without any problem. Like now, when I'm on the airplane and somebody has a Kindle, they either have to turn on the light because a Kindle doesn't have any light built into it, or they also have these little small lights that clamp onto the side of the Kindle that lights it up because the Kindle is not a backlit screen. On the other hand, when I go to the swimming pool and there's bright sunlight, I cannot use the iPad.
Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Talking to two gentlemen from NIST, we're speaking with Gordon Gillerman. He's the Director of Standard Services Division at NIST, and Matt Scholl. He's the Deputy Division Chief, Computer Security Division up at NIST. Everyone knows if you swing a dead cat up at NIST, you hit PhDs and smart folks. So we got two here today to tell us about conformity assessment and standards and compliance. Before the break, we kind of teased the idea of talking about the IT system itself and FedRAMP. Here we are in June 2012. The big news is GSA's put together this thing called FedRAMP. That's with four capital letters, F-E-D-R-A-M-P. Matt, maybe you can give us a little thumbnail sketch of what FedRAMP's all about and how NIST works and all these new terms like JAB and all that stuff.
Sure. So, that's a big and complicated topic, but I'll try to break it down for us. So, within the U.S. federal agencies, each organization, each agency has a responsibility for ensuring the security of their systems. What OMB and GSA is trying to do through the FedRAMP program is to economize on each individual organization conducting and applying a security to an external security provider, in this case, a cloud security provider. So under the direction of OMB, GSA, working jointly with many different agencies, put together the FedRAMP program, the Federal Reauthorization Management Program, to use a single security assessment and result of a security assessment and understanding, as well as a continuous monitoring program for a cloud service provider that will be providing cloud services, whatever those services might be, to the federal government. So the concept would be conduct an assessment, get an understanding of the security posture that the cloud security provider would provide, come to an agreement between that cloud security provider and the agency as to who will be doing what in the areas of what security controls, and then come to an agreement on the monitoring of those controls, but only do that once and then share it to many. Then that acronym, the JAB, was used as a joint authorization board. So this would be a collection of authorization officials from different agencies who would then authorize the use of that cloud service provider based on the results of those mutual security understandings. And then agencies can come in, take a look at that information, and then make their decision as to whether or not it meets their needs. So it's to scale the use of cloud service providers to the federal government, as well as to reduce the duplication that one provider would have to do across multiple agencies.
So it reduces duplicate services, huh?
Absolutely. So one of the great benefits about using a cloud service provider is both the economy of scale, which then leads to potential economic benefits. So in order to maintain both that economy of scale and that reduction of cost for service, this was looked at as a model to maintain those savings.
So, Matt, where we're at right now is now it's released and ready for DOD and DHS to approve. Is that where we're at right now?
Where we are right now is the security expectations have been released to the cloud providers, saying this is what we would like to know. Third-party assessment organizations have been, I'm going to use a word that means many things, but I'm going to say third-party organizations have been accredited to conduct a security assessment of a cloud security provider, and it's been opened up to those cloud security, those cloud service providers to get an assessment done with or without a government sponsor, and then to work with the JAB, the Joint Authorization Board, to provide that security evidence back to them so that they can then be opened up to all federal agencies and not have to go through an individual assessment for each agency. So right now, the JAB is established. The criteria, the base criteria for expectation has been put out. The third-party assessors have been set up, and it's basically open for business.
So what happens is that an organization can say, well, I've got my my Gilroy cloud here, and I have been approved for business by the GSA, and then an agency can consider me for use. Is that what happens then?
That's exactly right. So the Matt Scholl agency can say, well, you know, the John Gilroy cloud has already been accredited by the JAB to the security requirements that the JAB has been expressed. Those requirements are good enough for me, too. I don't have to go back and retest those guys. I don't have to necessarily ask for a one-off on their service provider. Again, potentially defeating the purpose of scale and economy. I have an understanding of the security that that cloud provider is going to offer me, as well as what the expectations are of me to maintain some of those requirements on my side. I'm going to go ahead and move to the cloud now because I understand what this is. Someone's looked at it, and someone's looked at it that I trust.
Now, it's almost like a diploma or something you put on the wall. I was once in the jungle in Brazil, and I got sick, and I went to the doctor's office. First thing I look for is diploma. He's got his diploma from Germany. I figure, hey, I trust him. And it's trust here, isn't it? I mean, hey, they're certified by this organization, by FedRAMP, so you can trust them.
Absolutely. And that trust comes from this standardized understanding. Therefore, you can make an educated decision about extending trust or not because you have a standardized understanding of the security that is being applied to that cloud. And you have a standardized understanding of that Joint Authorizations Board review of that security that's being applied.
So reducing duplication means you're going to save money and switch to the cloud faster. And this whole idea of reducing duplication comes back to the first point of you know, standards and using these standards efficiently through a wide range of organizations, whether it's water, whether it's organic foods, or whether it's security services as well.
Absolutely. So the standardization and the application of standardization does improve efficiency, improve cost effectiveness on all sides, as well as you said at the last break, enable innovation, which is one of the reasons why you find this work over here at the Department of Commerce, is in order to ensure that we keep our focus on the enabling of innovation and the positive impact that can happen to American innovation and the American economy.
Let's switch over to Gordon real quickly here. When you look at standards and the federal government, and you think about third-party standards, and you think about international standards, it can be a mess. I mean, the whole idea of all these organizations working together, it gets complicated, doesn't it, Gordon?
It's very complicated. There are standards at many different levels of geography. There's national standards, there's regional standards, there's international standards, there's overlapping standards for a variety of different kinds of technologies and products and services, and organizing it in a way that's effective is often a great challenge. It's a big challenge for the federal government as we look to effectively regulate things that are necessary for safety, health, and the environment, and other regulatory issues, to regulate in a way that's as least burdensome to the regulated community as possible while providing for an effective regulatory structure for government and conserving the government's resource in conforming and executing regulatory conformity assessment programs. These are big themes in the work that we do here at NIST, trying to help government agencies look at and design a variety of different approaches and make good decisions in their process to execute their mission in ways that minimize the burden on the regulated and allow for this effective regulatory posture. This is further complicated by the fact that many of the product manufacturers and service providers exist in a very global environment and have to deal with the same kind of challenges in foreign markets.
Gentlemen, with your permission, I'll take a quick break here. And when we get back, we'll talk about healthcare IT and standards and conformity and how that affects maybe a wider range of our listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we have two experts from NIST. We have Gordon Gillerman and Matt Scholl.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Here's Anil Carmel, MNO Chief Technology Officer for the National Nuclear Security Administration, on a recent client virtualization solutions panel discussion sponsored by GovConnection, HP, and VMware.
We're deploying new capabilities to our consumers so that we can embrace enterprise mobility. So we are embracing cloud services for those use cases that make sense. We're embracing collaboration capabilities that really allow us to connect researcher to researcher, scientist to scientist, headquarters to field, to deliver a new compute capability to our end users, where work becomes something you do, not somewhere you go.
VMware View helps federal IT leaders comply with the Telework Enhancement Act, meet COOP initiatives, and solve the access control dilemma. HP Thin clients have been certified to work with VMware View Manager. This end-to-end solution allows you to simplify desktop management, reduce costs, improve data protection, and promote compliance. GovConnection is your one-stop resource for all of your IT projects. Visit govconnection.com/federalVDI for more details today.
This week on Agency of the Month, Kathy Hudson, Director of Human Resources at the National Security Agency, said,
"A lot of the partnerships, government industry, are in a really good place and improving, have very much improved over the past couple of years. What we need to do now is step up our efforts in order to be, because ultimately, cyber time really does mean cyber time. And so we actually have to be able to have those exchanges happening in time enough to make a difference."
Agency of the Month, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. in June. Sage Management is a leader in finding solutions to national security challenges within federal and state government. Being a small, veteran-owned business, the leaders at Sage Management understand the importance of offering professional, streamlined services quickly and effectively. Their mission is to apply sound business management practices, proven engineering solutions, and community expertise in all aspects of national security. To find out more about Sage Management and career opportunities, visit sage-mgt.net.
Many factors affect job satisfaction. Hours, teammates, and opportunity can all make or break an experience. That's why it was an impressive achievement when 100% of employees surveyed recently reported they were proud to work for Acuity Inc. With a 766% growth rate and recognition as a best place to work, Acuity is attracting talented, passionate professionals and keeping them happy. Learn more. Visit myacuity.com/careers.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community, sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to FedTalk@FederalNewsRadio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, Bill Bransford will host a roundtable discussion on diversity in the federal government and in the senior executive service.
Here in the metro area, you'll find interesting people, top-notch restaurants, great sports teams, and plenty of monuments and museums. And here is where you'll find your next career, as a civilian employee of the United States Coast Guard. A career in the U.S. Coast Guard offers you stability, excellent federal benefits, and a flexible work schedule. So if you're looking for that next opportunity, consider the U.S. Coast Guard, where your career is how you serve. To find out more, visit the United States Coast Guard website at coastguardcivilian.com/federal. The U.S. Coast Guard is an equal opportunity employer.
Here are some tips for a fun-filled weekend with Marvin Bond, editor of Recreation News. Are there any wine festivals coming up?
Absolutely. This is the season. There are a couple of interesting ones on Saturday. The Alexandria Food and Wine Festival is from noon to 5 with wine tasting and activities actually for the whole family. The Williamsburg Wine Festival is Saturday from noon to 6 and features 20 Virginia wineries and live entertainment down in the historic Triangle of Virginia. You can find out more about both of these on page 53 of Recreation News and our calendar of events, or of course at recreationnews.com.
How about an activity that's a little bit different?
If you're feeling adventurous, you might want to check out the Canaan Valley Resort State Park in West Virginia. You can enjoy horseback riding, whitewater rafting or canoeing, canopy tours, and a lot more of the adventuresome kinds of activities, all starting at just $124 a person. Check out page 29 of the June Recreation News, or of course at recreationnews.com.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Beth Reardon.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Gordon Gillerman. He's the Director of Standard Services Division at NIST, and Matt Scholl, Deputy Division Chief, Computer Security Division up at NIST, N-I-S-T. For more information, most of us have heard of NIST and Department of Commerce, and we have some kind of vague thing. Oh, they make sure that the roads, the tires are the right size, and the paint conforms to this. But there's real practical, actual real-world applications here, Gordon. For example, if you have a child, you buy them a toy, you want to make sure that toy doesn't have any lead in the paint in the toy, because they're going to chew on it, that's for sure. And I think a real concrete example of this is with the CPSC. You want to maybe tell us a story about these folks?
Sure, and it's interesting that we can talk about standards and move out of FedRAMP, which is really kind of the cutting edge of cloud technology, and then come to toys and still be talking about standards. And
isn't it amazing, the range? Yeah.
So in about 2007, there was a very, very large uptake in the number of products which were found in the U.S. market with problems related to excessive quantities of lead and other hazards for children. There was a reaction in Congress, and that was the passage of something called the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act. And that really required that children's products coming into the marketplace in the United States be tested.
I think that's reasonable. That's a reasonable.
And not just be tested, but be tested at an accredited laboratory to demonstrate conformity to the U.S. regulatory requirements for those products.
Another reasonable request,
And they had to do that before they entered the marketplace. So it really was a change in the regulatory conformity assessment posture for children's products in the United States. And the commission, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the regulator for these products, was faced with a tremendous challenge of developing and implementing a laboratory accreditation system to provide enough capacity to test the quantity and scope of children's products covered under the regulation. And it's an amazing scope. It's really all products that are for use by people under the age of 12.
And so my listeners may be able to empathize with this. So someone walked up to Dwayne Ray and said, oh, by the way, or whoever his predecessor was, let's get this program running.
Yeah, Dwayne's the leader of the organization within CPSC who has the charge to fulfill this mandate, and they had to do it, and they had to do it very quickly. And certainly the government, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, did not really have the capacity to visit every laboratory in the world that was going to test children's products.
Yeah, in the next 90 days, by the way.
And more than that, a lot of children's products are made overseas. And
right.
So capacity and international interoperability were really important. We worked with CPSC very, very closely as they looked at how to accomplish this mission. And they made some choices. And they made some choices to rely on an international accreditation system, which is orchestrated by an organization called the International Laboratory Accreditation Cooperation. It's a peer assessment organization for laboratory accreditation bodies. Those accreditation bodies actually assess the competency of laboratories to perform certain tests all around the world. CPSC developed a program to recognize laboratories who had been appropriately accredited by accreditation bodies who are members of this organization and allow these laboratories that were appropriately accredited and proved they had technical competence and high-integrity management systems within their laboratories to create the data that demonstrate conformity with federal regulatory requirements. That program has been up and running for a very short period of time, and to their credit, CPSC has recognized about 370-plus laboratories that operate in tens of countries across the world, and really has allowed the industry for children's products to move through this regulatory change without a tremendous upheaval in their supply chain.
And you can hear the story. In 2007, someone screams at a congressman and goes, "What are you going to do about it?" Well, this is the response. And you know, the Consumer Product Safety Commission didn't take it all on themselves. They had to work with third-party organizations. So we have an interesting little dance here between profit, nonprofit, for-profit, the federal. I mean, I think it's more difficult than some listeners may think.
It is quite a challenge. And one of the nice things is that there is a standards space. We're from NIST, so there's standards from everything. And there are even standards that define how conformity assessment should be done. And these really allow for that same kind of common understanding that Matt talked about when we were talking about FedRAMP among the providers of conformity assessment services, like testing laboratories and accreditation bodies. And this helps U.S. government agencies have confidence that even private sector organizations who are executing some of these conformity assessments do it with competence and integrity and can provide the kind of competence and confidence in regulatory compliance that they need to fulfill their mission.
If I can steal a phrase from Matt, accredited once, accepted everywhere. Is that the phrase? Is that the phrase that pays?
Well, it's the phrase that pays in some sectors. It really depends on the construct of the conformity assessment system. Sometimes it's tested once, accepted everywhere. Sometimes it's certified once, accepted everywhere. And sometimes, indeed, it is accredited once, accepted everywhere.
Yeah, I went to YouTube, and if you type in accreditation, you see that video. There's a video, I think, you mentioned earlier, ILAC, is that right?
Yes.
I think they've come up with and gives it a better idea of exactly how this all works. So we have very, very specific applications here. Someone in Missouri complains about lead in paint. 2007, the federal government responds and works in coordination with other organizations. And I think that's the dance that both Matt and Gordon have to do. They're at NIST, but in many ways, they have to be thought leaders, or they have to be, proponents of certain initiatives. But they really can't mandate. Some things they can mandate, some things they can't. You know, it's a fuzzy world both you live in, isn't it?
So my job here in Standard Services is really not to mandate anything. My job is to help other federal agencies understand the alternative approaches that they can use and help them move through the decision-making process on the best, most effective regulatory approach for their particular agency mission.
Just like with the paint folks.
Exactly.
Right. And then in the Computer Security Division, in our specific area, we work at developing and working with industry-led consensus-based standards bodies to develop those standards in that space that then can be used by those who have these missions to understand products that are being used into our marketplace so that they have that body should they need it.
So NIST doesn't isolate itself up in Gaithersburg there. I mean, in June, there's a couple of conferences. Is that right, Matt, that dealt with cloud and cloud security standards?
Absolutely. We, again, using that model of open engagement with industry and academia and the manufacturing community, we like to have, as we talked about earlier, open workshops to bring all those industry sectors in to hear about their challenges as well, to understand what it is that they are doing in their vertical spaces so that we have this kind of open consensus and informed venue so that we can bring that back to the standards work that we participate in. And then we also, as Gordon said, do our best to tag up on all these standards bodies in the relevant spaces that affect American competitiveness and innovation to ensure that we have a seat at that table, too, so that we understand what's happening.
So what the government can do is it can reduce barriers to some of these activities, and what businesses can do is they can take advantage of that by maybe eliminating multiple inspections. And that means for the consumer of the toy or the consumer of a glass of water, it reduces the whole uncertainty and it adds to the initial goal of promoting commerce within the United States, within the world.
Absolutely.
Great. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about blogs, talk more about events, and touch on maybe some mobile applications. Everyone seems to talk about mobile applications here in collecting data. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we have Gordon Gillerman and Matt Scholl from NIST.
The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbu. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
At Kaiser Permanente, we're about keeping you connected. So we made My Health Manager. It connects you to your doctor, your prescriptions, your test results, and your health records right at home. But what if you aren't home? What if you're visiting family? Or at the beach or on a business trip? What if you're on a steep mountain trail, you know, with loose gravel and one way in and one way out? Now there's the Kaiser Permanente mobile app. It connects you right from your smartphone. You can email your doctor while visiting family, refill your prescription from the beach, take your medical records on a business trip, or schedule, say, a little checkup from that steep trail. No matter where you are, we'll keep you connected without keeping you from any of life's adventures. Get the app by searching Kaiser Permanente in the Android Market or Apple App Store, or bookmark kp.org on your smartphone. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. Apple is a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Android is a trademark of Google Inc.
The Federal Drive is sponsored by Learning Tree International.
Learning Tree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. They provide high-quality, instructor-led IT and management training to government professionals and contractors at all levels. Call 1-800-THE-TREE or enroll today at learningtree.com/gov. That's learningtree.com/gov.
The Federal Drive, brought to you by Learning Tree International, airs weekday mornings from 6 to 10 and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Please join Jim Flysick on Tuesday, June 26th at 12 noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This program will focus on healthcare IT progress and best practices in the federal government. The panel includes government leaders from ONC, MHS, and VA. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum, Tuesday, June 26th at 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by McAfee, Quest Software, and EMC Isilon.
I'm Kurt Kraus, General Manager of the National Conference Center in Leesburg, Virginia. Recent overspending by the GSA has triggered drastic meeting and travel restrictions that are short-sighted. The fact is, most government departments spend sensibly. Training is critical for every organization's success, including the government and our military. These sweeping changes will negatively impact our industry and the economy. See my letter in the Washington Post advocating long-term solutions, not short-sighted reactions. And for responsible meeting options, visit conferencecenter.com.
Paid for by the National Conference Center.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7742.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by MetLife and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Gordon Gillerman from NIST. He's the Director of Standard Services Division, and Matt Scholl. He's the Deputy Division Chief, Computer Security Division. We're talking about standards. We have this huge big pictures of compliance and standards, and we drilled down into the computer world. We drilled down into a very practical world of toys with lead paint. You know, a lot of people have social media, like to keep up with things. Gentlemen, are there any blogs that you read? Or can you suggest our listeners to read any blogs to keep them up on this subject?
Well, from the Computer Security Division, the blogs I generally troll around are around the security world. So I prefer to trend on the antivirus and threat space blogosphere rather than the conformity assessment side.
Well, I'm going to be blogging about this interview at my company at Armature, so you can type in my name, John Gilroy, and you'd stumble on that one. And my Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, and I will be tweeting about this. Do you folks tweet? Do you follow any tweets?
Don't tweet, but NIST Standard Services maintains a standards information website at http://gsi.nist.gov, and that web space can be found just by a web search with NIST and GSI, and that maintains a lot of information that helps U.S. companies understand the regulatory requirements in foreign markets and gives gateways to NIST services that help them understand what they need to conform to and how to demonstrate conformity to those requirements in order to be successful in foreign markets. Another big part of the work we do in support of our Department of Commerce helps the success of U.S. industry mission.
It helps them sell more stuff. Yeah, that's the motto. Effective standards enable innovation so you can sell more stuff. That's pretty practical. You know, some of my listeners are scratching their heads going, I wonder if these guys are engineers or nerds or something. So I have a nerdometer test here where I ask 10 questions to find out if you're a card-carrying nerd. So we're going to start in with you, Gordon, real quick. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Quick 10 questions. You bought your first computer.
1999.
99, that's weak. Your first cell phone.
1988.
That's respectable. You don't have a Twitter feed, we know that. Don't have a blog. Do you use any personal online backup services?
No, hard backup services at home.
Okay. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have a NIST-issued BlackBerry.
Ooh, a BlackBerry. Okay. And you don't have any apps on that, I'm sure. What kind of tablet device do you have?
My wife has a Apple tablet. I have no tablets.
Okay. And social networking sites you participate in?
Audio Asylum.
Wow, well, that's a new one.
A blog for hi-fi people.
Well, you're an audio nerd is what you are, huh? And the last book you read, Gordon, was it paper or electronic?
Paper. It was a reread of Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah, the guy just died. Yeah, that's a wonderful book. Well, you got a weak score here. Let's go over your colleague, Matt. Hope you can improve on this. Matt, you're your first computer.
You know, that first question is completely dependent upon your age. So,
oh, you're just a young fella.
Well, or I may be tipping my hat. I think it might have been 83.
Ooh.
It was a Commodore VIC-20, and I could play Asteroids on it. It was awesome.
Well, that's good. You're your first cell phone.
I'm going to... You know, you're asking me to reach into my gray matter here. I think it was 94.
Do you have a Twitter feed? No. Blog? No. Online personal backup?
I use both external drive and a couple of. I actually use two different external cloud solutions.
Type of smartphone?
I have both an Apple and a BlackBerry.
Okay. And number of apps on your Apple?
Oh, wow. Geez. That number varies depending on how bored I am and whether or not I can get them for free. Yeah. I'm going to say I got maybe 15 to 20 on it.
Okay, that's a tablet device?
I am a big fan of my Kindle.
Okay, and social networking sites you participate in?
I participate in GovLoop, and believe it or not, the other one I participate in is the Montgomery County Beekeepers.
Well, that's a new one. Actually, you can get some nerd points with that. And the last book read, electronic or paper?
Electronic.
Electronic. Well, that's fascinating. Beekeepers, that's great. Well, gentlemen, this is a time in the studio. I get this huge crystal ball. It's very, very expensive. And I put it in front of my guests and say, well, we've talked about a wide range of topics here. Cloud compliance. We talked about security and paint and water and everything else. Maybe I'll start with you, Gordon. Where's this world heading in the next 5 to 10 years? Where does NIST position itself? And what about this whole area here? What are you charged with doing? And where do you see yourself evolving in the next few years?
So here in NIST Standard Services, we're really charged with helping the federal government agencies coordinate and evolve their standards, usage and participation, and conformity assessment roles. And there's a lot of things going on in this space. In the standards policy area, there's this focus on standards to execute administrative policy and agenda in areas, as we already discussed. There's also the potential for the Office of Management and Budget to issue new guidance to the agencies on the implementation of those National Technology Transfer and Advancement Act standards obligations for federal use and participation of private standards, and a coordination activities by NIST in conformity assessment. And as part of the existing OMB guidance, NIST has published last in 2000 a guidance to the federal agencies on conformity assessment, and we're right now considering whether we need to look at that guidance and effectively review it and revise it. And so we may be going through that process in the near future. At a higher level, a couple of executive orders are matrixing into our work. So one of them is Executive Order 13609 on regulatory cooperation, which is really a focus on the global marketplace and the reality that U.S. product manufacturers and service providers are working in a global marketplace, and helps us gain an understanding of how U.S. regulators can look at interoperable systems with foreign regulators that allow U.S. manufacturers to be successful in multiple markets around the world and minimize a regulatory burden while still having effective regulatory structures in place. And another one, Executive Order 13610, on identifying and reducing regulatory burdens for the regulated community. And both of these are really hand-in-hand with many of the activities we've already talked about. A lot of times the work we do ends up in conformity assessment system decisions by the agencies that leverage existing resources in the private sector, provide for a standardized approach to executing conformity assessment. And these kind of activities really allow a level of international interoperability that could be very, very good for the U.S. manufacturing community from an international competitive perspective.
Matt, the word interoperable sounds like more of a computer word than a commerce word. So in your world, interoperation is also very important, isn't it?
Absolutely, and standards plays a key role in allowing for that interoperation to occur. And then that also allows, again, back to the innovation piece, it allows for people to modularize their product space and still allow it to operate in a system environment. So interoperability is key, and we see it and play with it all the time. That's why you can buy a third-party app for your tablet or your smartphone and allow it to work on that.
It's trying to make the world easier. I can, if you listen to different talk radio stations, you hear people calling and screaming, what are you doing about this? What are you doing about painting the toys? What are you doing about overburdening regulations? Well, you guys are doing something about it. I mean, we talk about these conferences, and you can find these conferences at NIST. But what NIST is doing is they're saying, yeah, well, we get the message. We understand, but in the last 10, 15 years, the whole world's changed so quickly, rather than manufacturing in Wisconsin, now it's being manufactured in China. So that whole set of different rules have to change. And that's what I think both you folks are doing is working in this rapidly changing environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Rapidly changing on many different scales, to include the technologies that we try to gain an understanding of through these conformance programs, which means that, as Gordon said earlier, the standards need to and do stay flexible to allow for those new technologies to emerge, and yet for us to still maintain an understanding that we need to about how these are used.
Well, great. I'd like to have you folks back maybe in 6 or 8 months, talk about, you know, all the changes. I think the whole world of mobile computing is going to have an impact on standards and working with the cloud as a whole. I mean, this is just we're right in the middle of interesting times here, gentlemen. I think standards is one way to reduce the burden and enable innovation. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we had a discussion with Gordon Gillerman. He's the Director of Standards Services Division at NIST, and Matt Scholl, Deputy Division Chief, Computer Security Division at NIST. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.